revisit verse 3, where the psalmist is saying, at each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. And every morning I will wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. And in the Aramaic, Brian Simmons points out that the implied concept here is the preparation of the morning offering. That was a practice of the Hebrew people and the priests. And the Aramaic text states, at dawn I shall be ready and shall appear before you. So there's this preparation of an offering that is very appropriate. Hi, Cynthia. I saw you earlier. Like, it's always great to see you. Don't shake your head. It's always wonderful to see you. Like, it's nice. It's a blessing. It warms my heart to see you when you visit us. Yeah, cool. And anyways, I love, especially the summer begins, you know, and the birds are singing in the morning. And I just click with this so much. And I love the mornings. And there's such an awareness. It becomes more real to me. And it's so surreal that there's this awakening of the morning. And you get to experience, you know, our typical Ohio weather during, you know, late fall and winter and spring is like, you know. But once we kick into this thing and the birds are singing and they come, you can, if you're up at the right time, you can hear things awaken. It's the neatest thing. If you'll pause, Selah, pause in his presence, and appreciate and take time to just realize, just walk out. It's an awesome thing. Every morning, things awaken, and the dawn, you know, it comes, and it's a very unique time, and it moves out of the silence and the quietness of the night into the sound of the morning. And sometimes, that's such a real thing, I love it when I'm dialed in a little bit, to participate in that. Do you understand that you can participate in it? Do you understand that if you grasp this, the psalmist grasps that this is a real thing. You want to come alive a little bit? Show up. And show up in life. I'm just speaking in general. Some of you are not morning people and you're just going, no, not feeling that, Pastor. But just pretend. Romanticize with me for a moment. And the other morning, I had done this in a season a few years back, and just was happening, you know. It wasn't something I was like deciding to do. It was happening. And the other morning, I walked out and it was like, yeah, here it is. And I added my voice to the awakening of the dawn, which is significant. And you do that in the spirit, like, yeah, I'm in this. I'm part of life. My voice matters. I awaken. I mean, that's just a little picture, a snapshot, and an experience of the reality of what happens when you add your voice, when you add your sound, when you add your activity, and you do it in faith. Yesterday, this wedding, like Tom said, it was like super cool. It's at this Boy Scout camp down in the on the north side of Columbus, and there's this huge cement, made out of cement, amphitheater. It's pretty big. Like, yeah, by the time you got to the top, if you were at the bottom and come back up, you had the burn in your calves. Like, it was one of those things, okay? So pretty good size and steep. And the backdrop was this beautiful, this creek and a little bridge across the creek. And the hill goes up and the hills are alive. You know, one of those things. The pines and the paths. It's just real beautiful setting. And down in there we're doing the wedding, and I just got carried away with that and forgot the point I was going to make. What was I going to say, Phyllis? It was great, as Tony the Tiger would say. Any of you?
The sound.
Yeah, that's where I was. What point was I going to make? Ah! Yeah. But there was something specific. Oh, Lord. You should have to live in this sometime. It's a scary thing. And then you get up in front of people. Yeah. And you go, oop, lost it. You know, I feel like sometimes I feel like Dory on Finding Nemo. You know, nothing in my noggin. You know, it was there, but now it's gone. And yeah, I'm going to swim around in the ocean and look for it. You know, are you my conscience? Darn, it was a really good point, too. I'm sure. I'm just sure of it. Yeah. It was, the whole thing was good. It was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed being there. It was kind of like one of those things like, thank you for making me a part of this, you know, kind of thing. What was I going to say? I know. Why? What cued that? It might be gone forever. Anyways, I was, before I lost myself, making a really great point. So let's go back to what I was actually talking about before I ran off on all the little paths and trails. That there is this preparing the morning offering, and you can participate in that. We have these Islamic extremists declaring all over the world in the name of Allah as they terrorize, torture, kill, murder, and do things that I won't even tell Phyllis about that I've heard. Horrendous in the name of Allah. How much more, like, hey, you think maybe we should show up with the real God, with the real message, with the message of love? And I was envisioning this. I saw a picture of a group of them that came and did whatever they did in front of Trump Tower. And then they all bowed down and were praying, like, and it wasn't a good thing. And I thought, what would I actually do if I ran across some of these people that were kneeling down in the middle of the street praying? And they'll do this whenever, just probably to provoke people. Come, yeah, I know, I'm walking dangerously, whatever. But it's also time we call black, black, and white, white. What would I do? And I thought, how about this? How about they're kneeling down, pray, like that I kneel down and pray in Jesus' name, not in malice, not in retribution, but a demonstration of, well, here's what the real God looks like. He loves you. Here's his real prayer. I'm going to pray too. Lord Jesus, come, show your kindness to stand and to take authority over strongholds and principalities, not fight people, but fight the real enemy, the enemies that the Lord told us to fight. That there's this, come and prepare your heart, the offering of your life, whatever that looks like. I don't care about the details, but there's something intriguing here. And that you can awaken the dawn, and there's this waiting then for the fire to fall on your offering. Like, do you have an expectation that when you give an offering to the Lord, that it'll come and fall on it? You should. When you give an offering of praise, have an expectation as you offer up that our God's reciprocal. That's not a bad thing to expect. He loves to reciprocate. Have you ever talked to somebody and they won't answer you? Like we do that with, hello, you're not answering me. Are you going to not talk to me? We say to our husbands or our wives or, our kids or whatever. You're going to just be on that phone, or are you going to talk to me? You know, that thing. And then we pray and we have no expectation that God's going to respond. But I believe he longs to enter. Well, I know he does. He proves it all the time. He will not stay out of our business. He comes down, we cry, he comes. He sends messages, he sends prophets, he sends all kinds of things to show us and lead us. He goes to great extents, actually. Pays great prices, like the life and blood of his son, so that we could know him and be restored, so that he could come and visit us and be close. He longs. He wants to be close to people. Remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about the mountain, the experience of the children of Israel on the mountain, Sinai. They go there and scares the bejeebers out of the children of Israel. We also would have been scared, like, whoa. Thunders, lightnings, electrocutions, hot spots. We'll stay back here, Moses. You go. That's too scary. That thundering round, it's too loud. But God in heaven wanted to be close to the children. He wanted to be in their midst. Don't miss that picture. But then he was concerned. Because like, if I come into your midst, some of you may not live through the experience. Without the blood of Jesus, none of us would live through the experience. Here's a God in heaven that wants to be close because of his holiness. And without Jesus, our unholiness. But he, don't miss this. He wants to be close. He wants to be close to you. He wants to know you. He wants to be close. He wants to walk with you. He wants to speak. He wants to interact with you. Let's get rid of the blockages so we can hear. Let's deal with the strongholds. When you recognize there are strongholds, belief systems in your mind, declare war on them. Start to pray like, this got to go so I can hear, so I can be close, so I can be in touch, be in tune. And so have this expectation as you prepare your offering, you wait on the Lord. Wait on him with an expectation that he wants to come and consume that offering. I believe there was a manifestation between Cain and Abel. I referred to that last week. And Cain is really upset because the Lord considered Abel's offering, but he didn't consider his. And it just totally flipped him out. He was upset, pouting. His countenance fell was the description we get from scriptures. Like, whoa, what's wrong with you? Did your dog just die or something? Like, what's going on with you in your life? God didn't consider my offering. Took my brother's offering, but he didn't take mine. It's not fair. So, yeah, stuff like that gets us all miffed up and muffed up and upset. And God comes to Cain, and what does he say? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Like, just fix what went wrong. Like, consider your ways. Consider what was it? I believe Cain knew. Whatever it was, I believe Cain knew. He knew the difference. If he would just go, whoa, this didn't feel good. The Lord didn't consider my offering. What's wrong? Like, what can I change? The Lord came to him. Didn't say, I don't want anything to do with you. That wasn't the message, was it? The message was, just fix what's wrong. Pay attention, Cain. But if you don't pay attention, sin is over here in the weeds crouching. It's crouching at the door to devour you. That's a whole another principle. When you're being tempted into this bitterness and resentment and all the other stuff, when you're being drawn into that in your heart, understand there's a lioness in a bad one in the weeds watching for you to get separated and isolated so it can consume you. So when your countenance has fallen and your heart has fallen, be careful. Don't be under condemnation. Just understand you're in a dangerous place. And the enemy loves it. Father doesn't love it. But the enemy loves it because if he can get you separated and pulled away, then he can pounce on you and devour you. And the Father gives a warning. Do well, your countenance be lifted up. You'll be happy again. I'll consider your offering. I'll fall down on it. I'll receive the offering. Well, going on down, I touched on this last week. In verse, it's in the second half of verse 7. I am covered by your covenant of mercy. Again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation in Psalms. For I am covered by your covenant of mercy and love, so I come to your sanctuary with deepest awe to bow and worship and adore you. So out of understanding that the psalmist is saying, out of that understanding and revelation that I'm under this covenant of mercy and love, which if we're not careful, those are just words, but there's something there because out of that, he goes, out of understanding that and seeing that, what I'm under, what I'm covered, then I can come and just, I can be in worship. Like, wow, I just want to drop to my knees. Have you ever had the experience where, you know, normally, normal life, normal everyday life, where we choose to worship, we choose to bow down, but have you ever, I've experienced this a few times in my life where there's this, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I'm like, compelled to drop, like compelled to bow down because the presence is so strong. Just boom, that's a great feeling. It's not a bad feeling. It's a good feeling. You're just sucked into the vacuum of, you know, you're drawn into this thing and you have to worship because there's just nothing else you should do. You just boom, pull. And there it's, yeah. Like, that's what awaits us. We can have those experiences. Lord loves to give us those experiences. Now, often you are going to have to walk in faith and choose, and that's fine too. You never get another opportunity to worship without seeing with your eyes, to choose to believe without seeing. So we're on this side of really walking in faith, and there's a great reward for that when we see him as he is. So you don't get another opportunity like this. In all of eternity, you know how, like, guys, if they're in sports, so they have this ring, they won the pennant, they have their high school, you know, their, you know, Rico and his, you know, football career, you know, high school or whatever, and they're always living out of that, you know, that thing. And sometimes people have some great accomplishments, but like, wow, I wouldn't want to be stuck in a few accomplishments that happened in a few years of my life, and then the rest of my life I spend looking back at what I did, what I did, what I did, what I did. Now I'm, you know, 80 years old going, what I did, and haven't done anything since then. That's a sad story, isn't it? Would hope my life would be built on what happened there, but yeah, what happened yesterday was great too. And so to have these opportunities to worship without that, but also to experience the Lord. I started to meditate, and I've continued to meditate on what's the revelation of understanding the covenant that we're under, the covering. To see it so clearly that it makes me drop to my knees, like, that worship is, that becomes the overwhelming thing. I hope I'm not alone in this or I'm talking to the walls, but life tends to draw us. We get in a good place, then life draws you away to where you become self-conscious again. Does anybody, I get good, then I get distracted. Or something happens that offends me, or I'm struggling with, or preoccupied with, or life's, you know, or I bounce the checkbook, or, you know, something happens, and boom, all of a sudden your eyes are back here, the reality is back in this place. And, or you're rejected by people, and you're struggling with who you are, what you are, what you did, can't take it back, regret sets in, remorse sets in, and you feel separated, maybe because you did something, and maybe just your feelings are just out of whack. Whatever it is, we've got to stop focusing on who we are, what we did, what people think of us, whether they liked us or not, whether you failed someone or not. We've got to come to the place. We focus more on this covenant. When the reason we do struggle to understand covenant, it is a struggle. We don't have a lot of things that are like that, but your marriage is one of them, or marriage, just marriage is one of them. In a marriage, you've got to really work at getting out of it. Like, it sticks. You had a good day, bad day, it's still in place, right? Even when things are going really bad, the marriage is still there. You feel it, and you should. It's a real thing, because you're not just it's not just a friendship like, hey, you know what? I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And you just stop calling. It's a little more involved than that, isn't it? And it should be, because it's a covenant. You don't just walk away. There's stuff. There's things. There are things that have to be dealt with and reckoned with. You've got to choose to get out of this thing. Well, when we're under the covenant with the Lord and he keeps both sides, like that's a great deal. You're not going to get that deal anywhere else. And you enter into it by saying yes to him, yes to his invitation. And you go, Lord, I'm not very good at being faithful. I make a lot of mistakes. He says, don't worry about it. I'll cover that. Just keep a yes in your heart. Keep coming. Just keep saying yes to me. I will help you. My grace is sufficient. This is where grace comes in, to help you stay in this place. So I not only will call and do my part, but I also come around the backside and help you so that you're, you know, I've got you in the front and I've got you in the back. It's a great deal. It's like this. And this was, I'm like, what is this? And what, it's like, the coverage that you have, like insurance coverage, health insurance, you're covered in your car, those things. And what's that about? Start to, if you get sick, you have to go to the hospital. That isn't the first question. Like, do you have insurance? We'll ask one another what your coverage is like. Some of you pay a lot of money for some of your insurance. I'm like, whoa, that's a bad deal. I belong to this Christian newsletter thing. And I've got better coverage than most of you. Honestly, I do. Sorry about that. This last, when Phyllis was in the hospital, that was it 4 or 5 days that you ended up in? I think the bill got up to like $20,000, like, whew, and I'm technically responsible for that because I don't have insurance, but I belong to this Christian newsletter. And when it was done, like my deductible is $300 a claim. I didn't even have to pay for that because I just asked for reductions and discounts and they were glad to give them and da-da-da. And in the I didn't pay for anything. It's a good deal. Some of you are like paying 20% of your, that's fine when it's only $1,000. But when it hits, $50,000, that percentage is like, oh my God, I got to go out and remortgage my house. Well, the coverage you have, all that to say this, the covenant is like coverage. And when you live under the coverage, like I'm covered, I'm in covenant and there are benefits to the coverage. And the benefits are great and I need to stop thinking about myself and how I feel and how I perceive myself and start thinking much, much more about the covenant I have and the coverage I have. And I believe we should, I know, because I know you all. I live with you. You live with me. I live with you. Let's do an upgrade on revelation about what we have, because you got the stuff. There's nothing new any of you need to get. You just need to get an understanding of what's available to you and live in it and access it and trust in it so you have peace. And because it's no good for us to keep reexamining ourselves and the way we do, and it doesn't help. It doesn't change you. You probably do need some changes made. You need some help. That's fine. Yeah. No argument there. Yep. Better work on that. That thing. Yeah. But your position, the Lord covers you. Let's turn now to Psalms 103. And I just want to, this is just reminder stuff. You know this, but I think we need to bring it to the forefront. Because unless you're doing way better than I am, and some of you may be, that's always a possibility. You need to look at your policy again so you can be at peace. Re-examine the policy. Let's make this our meditation so that when the worry hits, and the feeling hits, because you can't always trust them, go back to the policy, say, here's the policy, man. It's gold. And you can have as much as you can believe for. And we all have the same thing. If you came early, like 35 years ago, or if you came late yesterday, you have the same coverage. Same coverage, same promises, same benefits. Psalms 103, again, out of the Passion Translation, with my whole heart, with my whole life, with my innermost being, I bow and wonder and love before you, holy God. Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? And I should not forget them. Continually, I should not forget them. And he begins, we're looking now at the insurance policy, the assurance policy that we have. You've kissed my heart with your forgiveness. So forgiveness, first order of business, forgiveness. Can't forgive yourself? There's something that trumps that. He forgives you. If he forgives you, yourself is much less significant. Do you understand that? It's greater. There's a greater thing, greater than you. Thank God. So I keep trying. I keep focusing on me. I can't get there. I can't believe. I can't this. I can't that. How do I get pulled back in these places? It doesn't matter. I do. I just do. Something happens. A sting happens. A situation happens. It's just crazy how all of a sudden you're like, how am I back here? Like I've not been here, but now I'm back here. I'm struggling again. I'm feeling this. I'm overwhelmed by this disconnection. And the Father's like, that's all you, boy. That's all you. Because I haven't changed my position. I'm still right here. I still look at you the same. Nothing's changed. You're just flopping around on the deck like, stop. Look up. I haven't changed. My love for you, still the same. Nothing's changed. Why are you acting like that? Why are you hiding in the corner? Why are you running from me today? We run. We get busy. We do stuff. You know how you run. You know how you hide. You hear the Lord's voice. Do you run towards it or do you go run hide somewhere? I know this is very private stuff. We'll just leave it. But you know. I won't dabble too much in that. In spite of all I've done, you've forgiven me. Number two, you've healed me inside and out from every disease. We may not have accessed everything that's there, but it doesn't change what's there. We've got to stop this. It doesn't change what's there. We may not have the keys to access it. Our faith might not be at that place, but it's not on him. It's on us. And he's not made it impossible, challenging sometimes, but not impossible. Always that choice, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to get in. Let's take off the lid, stop explaining this away. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. This is the policy. You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. That's a done deal. Now, you can get your heart in a place in turmoil. I do feel you can, you know, this term backslidden, I don't like it. You don't hear me use it very often. But growing up as a Baptist where you could never, you know, no matter what you did, that was a problem too. I do believe you can break this relationship between you and Jesus. I do. Just like you can get a divorce if you really choose. You really get serious about it, you can get divorced. And you can divorce the Lord. And I know it's hard to believe and comprehend, but some people really do choose to do that and return to, I don't want anything to do with God. I'm out. I choose to be out. Wow, okay. But I don't believe that happens over spilling some milk. Do you understand? And I don't feel it happens just because you don't feel like you're saved anymore. You've got to choose that and work at that because his covenant is steadfast. You may flop around a lot, but he doesn't. You may be up and down. You may crash. You may be on a mountain. You may crash, but he's steadfast. He just stands. covered. Like, oh, what about this? He's like, I got it. Let's just change up a little bit. Rescued me from hell and saved my life. This is the coverage. Quote the policy if you have to. You crowned me with love and mercy and made me a king. And there's that Psalms 5 again, like the covenant of mercy and love. Condemnation gets dispelled when you understand that mercy's covering it. So now you don't have to even argue whether you're bad or you're good or you did bad or, you know. It's like it's irrelevant. It's covered. There's just mercy. Maybe you just think you did something bad or wrong because someone didn't approve of you. And maybe it's real. Maybe you did really screw up. Like, ooh, that was bad. Come and tell the pastor. I'm like, ooh, bad. That's bad. But mercy, covers it all. Like, okay, it's settled, I guess. Wow. Acknowledge it. Repent. Boom. I'm sorry. I turn from that, Lord. I don't want to practice that. Okay, let's go. Let's walk. Let me help you. Let me invigorate you. Let me help you through this. Crown me with love and mercy. This is about meditating on the covenant. His covenant instead of how I feel and how I'm performing and whether I'm liked or whether I've lost enough weight. What was that funny? You told me that funny joke, Cheryl. That's just my humor about the person. What was it? Something about a scales. And the lady looks at the scales and says, yeah, you're going to be in the corner until you apologize to me. Like she was standing on the scale. And she kicks the scales to the corner. You're going to be in the corner until you apologize to me. Reality is, crown me. Here's the truth. He's crowned you with mercy and with love. With love and mercy. And then David's writing this and he goes, and you made me a king. David knew. He knew what his calling was. As great as he was on his good days, he screwed up pretty bad. But his identity was still what his calling was, but I'm a king. Made some big mistakes. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible. It's there forever. I'll tell you what, that's a bad deal when you're one of the characters in the Bible and your stuff gets published and it's eternal. That's having a bad day. Yeah? It's not always great to show up in this. I kind of like being on in the aftermath of what's written in once, you know, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You satisfy my every desire with good things. Come on, people. You've got a testimony. This is why it's so good for us to tell our testimonies, tell our stories, the big and the little alike. They're all significant because it shows he's alive and he's working with me. He's helping me. And if you don't remember and choose to remember, you forget what all has happened. And you don't dare forget because you need what has happened to help you in the thing that you need to happen. Like every time I'm sitting on my little orange, you know, Kubota, like this was a gift, amazing gift. You know how guys and their toys and their stuff and their whatever. I mean, I would have made payments on this. And then it gets gifted to the church and I stole it, but whatever. You know. And this way beyond my dreams and whatever, like what I would have got, like I have this tractor. Drives nicer than most of your cars. Like, it's awesome. But it is a testimony in orange. Every time I see it, I'm reminded of the testimony of the gift that it is so that everything else that I want and desire, and that's fine. I'm allowed to be a real boy. Like now, I'm ready for a new truck, but I've got to wait and not do a Rick thing on getting my new truck. And so somebody else today talked about something that they wanted or asked the Lord for. And when you meditate on the covenant, then I don't do this scheming thing with the Lord, like you owe me or, you know, whatever, I really need this, and oh, if you don't, you know. You have a whole different approach. You go, I'm just asking for a gift. I'm going to just stay away from the I deserve it because I don't. That's going to fall apart. If I'm good today, by tomorrow, I'll screw it up. So I've got to just stay out of the I deserve it thing and just stick with the Father, your covenant, your goodness, I know you would love to give me good gifts. And if I just walk and trust you, you cannot help yourself. You know, it's like every child waiting for Christmas. Good parents, what do you guys do? You just go nuts on your kids. Ridiculous. Why is that? You know, for that moment, it'll probably sit the rest of the year, but for that moment of joy on Christmas morning, you lose your mind. Now, if you being evil parents, less than what God, know how to give good gifts, how much more your Father? I would just encourage you, whether you can afford it or not afford it, that's even irrelevant. Look at things you desire and commit them to the Lord so that it's fun, so that it's cool, so that your experience and your testimony grows with what the Lord gives you and provides for you. Have you ever gone out and spent money you had and, whoa, bad decision, you know? Or it doesn't work or whatever. Like, I want my stuff blessed by the Lord. I really do. Because there's no remorse with what he gives. There's no regret. He gives good things and you feel good afterwards, you know? You satisfy my every desire with good things. It's in the policy, folks. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in my life. This is the promise that your life does not have to be boring or dreaded. Your life can be supercharged. People that walk in this are excited about the smallest things, like because God's in it. And all of a sudden, you don't have to go to some exotic vacation place to be fully alive. You don't have to have huge gifts and lots of money to be totally excited about your life. You have the Lord give you a small gift and provide something that you know was a gift from him, something that he knew you desired that nobody knew, and boom, all that, and you go, whoa, you heard that. I love hearing those testimonies. Someone just kind of talk about what they want. I think Bill Johnson's given testimony about that. He just whispered something and someone gives him something and they have no clue that he just looked in a fishing magazine. He goes, this is a ridiculous, worthless gift. This is not, you know, anything for ministry. It's not needed. It's nothing. He said, I could have even went and bought it myself, and then someone gives me this exact thing that I saw in the magazine, and he goes, wow. Now that's living, folks. When you just whisper something and you heard that? You know, God's like, well, yeah, I hear everything. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's good. Every desire, everything, this is living in the covenant. See why this is good? We go back and remember this. You're a God who makes things right, giving justice to the defenseless. And then it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going through. And you realize when you read that psalm and realize it's a description of the policy and the covenant, the coverage. oh, I like this. It's all in here. Apply to faith. So let's take time today. Bravo for me. I'm going to pull up. I love that. I know that I know you need a reminder of this today. We all do. And every need you have, every block you have, everything that you desire, the Lord's aware of. It's in the policy. You don't deserve it, so don't go there. Just leave that. And you're qualified by believing. So you can be sitting there being a dirty, rotten scoundrel today and still be qualified for the benefits because you believed. Now, I wouldn't encourage you to stay a dirty, rotten scoundrel, but I'm just saying, it's accessible to you because you believe, because you turn your heart to Him, because you ask, not based on the other stuff. It actually does. You're not qualified because somebody beside you likes you. Let me say that again. You're not qualified because somebody beside you likes you. And you're not disqualified because somebody sitting beside you doesn't like you. You'd think it was the other way around, wouldn't you? The way we act. Like our world falls apart because we find out someone didn't like something we did, said, whatever. Read your policy. Read your coverage. If you have coverage on your car, the accident gets covered whether your neighbor likes you or not. I would recommend that you make peace with your neighbor. That's just a good Christian thing to do, following the Lord. But the Lord taking care of you, it's not based on that. Delights in blessing you. He wants to interact with you. He wants to be your father. On all needs, everything, let's encourage each other to turn. So let's just take some time today.